the cloud. And yeah, excellent. Good to see people by name, by face. This is great. Let me take a second to I'm going to go off my my gallery view and put on my chat here. Let me introduce Jennifer. She is so awesome. Michael, good to see you too. Man, this is great. This is Jennifer, this is alumni and people who are in the current course and
awesome.
The couple hundred people who will eventually benefit from your wisdom. But man, I want to just give you guys a quick on Skype, if you go up in the upper left corner, if you're on a tab or something, or in the upper right corner, if you're on a computer, you can select gallery view or speaker view. That'll switch around in the recording. It'll be the speaker view always. But what I want to do is introduce Jennifer, who on my screen, she can wave because this is like Brady Bunch on steroids. There's Jennifer, and if you're speaker view, she'll go full when she's talking. Jennifer's feedback is awesome. She is, I mean, I watched her online for a while, just dominating the teaching. I loved her style. I got her course, her intensive course, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago, in the true spirit of Showbiz Blueprint. All her alumni always get the latest course. Her 2018, I just went through again, and I was like, hey, will you just come on? Because Facebook ads are this weird thing, and I think there's this hole that we as entertainers who do CVIs, who send people to specific pages on our website to introduce our services, to make a proposal, we have the ability to then reach them on Facebook, Instagram, Facebook's advertising network. And I just said to Jennifer, what would this be like to help people see the light? And she was like, let's do it. And that's about all I want to say. So where are you at? You're somewhere on the East Coast, right?
I'm in Queens, right outside of Manhattan.
All right. So across the country, we got Norway. We got so far up in Canada that, you know, the sun never goes away. They've never seen nighttime, and everywhere in between. So yeah, jump in and take over, Jennifer.
Okay, perfect. Let me just open up my PowerPoint presentation here.
Yeah, and this is everyone, by the way, and this is Jennifer. So yeah, cool.
Okay. Screen.
Boop. Jennifer, I'm gonna quickly mute everybody here just so it doesn't fly off you.
Okay.
And then if somebody does say, hey, I want to make a comment or something, unmute yourselves, but that would be better. So you're gonna have to unmute yourself in a second, Jennifer. Yeah, go ahead, you can unmute yourself. And
there we go. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on.
Okay, perfect. I got a lot of rainbow spinny wheels doing all of that, but I think we're good. Can everybody, you can see my screen okay?
Yep, you're on.
Okay, awesome. And just to sort of add to what Barry was just saying, I definitely do encourage questions throughout. Number one, I'm going to be talking about a couple of somewhat technical topics. I obviously try to keep them as simple as possible, but if not understanding something prevents you from understanding what's next, definitely, you know, sort of internet-wise, raise your hand. And then I think the other side of this too is, and Barry and I were speaking about this earlier, I obviously don't have nearly as much of an understanding about the business you guys are in as you guys do. So if you have specific questions about, wait a minute, how does this apply to what we're doing? Again, I highly encourage that. I like my presentations to really just be a back and forth conversation. We're all kind of just chit-chatting here. So
as far as I know, you don't even juggle or make balloon animals, right? So
I can juggle scarves.
Okay, good. So you're not as far away as I thought, but
And I recently did try to blow up a balloon for probably the first time in 10 years, and it did not go over well.
Right, you can get a hernia doing that. That was good. Hey, comment so far, someone else here is in Queens, in Bayside, so you're talking local and around the world.
Oh, no way! My mom lives in Bayside. I was going to say, though, I can hula hoop for hours. Does that count?
Oh, that totally counts. No, that's really good, actually. That's cool. Hula hooping's great.
I can go forever. I'm just going to really resist the urge to grab my... Anyway, let's get into the presentation. Okay, so obviously what we're talking about here, the secret to high converting Facebook ads, and what that really means is, how do we use Facebook ads to actually drive something that matters, not just clicks and engagement, page likes? Those things are all fine. They all serve a purpose, but really, really, how do we use Facebook ads to create bottom line results? And so I know this might not exactly apply to all of you guys who are watching and listening, but a lot of the clients I work with, we're literally looking at, you know, how do I make their business money with ads? So that's the focus of this. let's not think about, you know, engagement and page likes and things like that. Let's really, for the purpose of this next 45 minutes to an hour, focus on how to use Facebook ads to drive the thing that really matters for you guys.
Awesome.
So just really quickly, super quick overview, like, why are we talking about Facebook ads in the first place? Why do I have an entire business that is all about Facebook ads? And as a side note, I mean, that literally is my entire business for the last 4 years. It's the only thing that I do. I'm inside ad accounts, optimizing things all day long and all night long. And I'm a total nerd about it and love it. So, okay, why are we talking about this in the first place? There's a couple of reasons why Facebook ads are such an amazing and impactful tool for really businesses and entrepreneurs of all sizes and industries. So for one, if you have things set up properly, and we are going to talk about that today, it's incredibly easy to measure and track your return in real time. So very easy to know what you're getting for what you're spending and not have Facebook ads feel like this black box that you kind of put money into and never really have a sense of what you're getting in return. But again, that's only if you have things set up properly. We are going to get into what that looks like today.
I want to say that that's so important to entertainers, and the way we can relate this is, you know, you guys know when we write a new joke, we go on stage and do it. We know the ROI on that thing right away. And honestly, when I look at my Facebook ads manager, I'm like, oh, that joke worked. You know, I can just see it instantly.
It's,
so that's cool.
It's exactly that. But you do have to have things set up properly to be able to know it's actually working, right? Definitely. Another huge advantage why we're talking about Facebook ads is the targeting. It is just unbeatable. There is no other platform in existence that allows you to get so specific and really spend your money only on reaching the exact right people. And yes, that applies to B2B. I've got a slide on that just after this one. So another huge advantage of Facebook ads is the ability to test different things. And this kind of relates to the first point, by the way, people to test different things side by side and get real-time feedback. And that doesn't just apply to being able to see which type of messaging or creative or audience works specifically for your ads, but that can actually influence other types of business and marketing decisions. So for example, I worked with a client many years ago. They were a brand new product and they honestly weren't sure which of the different segments they had in mind, their product was actually going to be the most interesting to. So it wasn't just which audience do we show our Facebook ads to. It was the ability to kind of do almost like very cheap and quick market research to figure out which audience, which segment actually was the most interested. And that influenced then all of their business and branding and marketing decisions going forward. So very powerful in that way as well. Another huge benefit, Facebook ads are actually relatively inexpensive compared to a lot of other marketing channels. But more importantly, Facebook ads are variable cost. And what that means simply is that you don't have to commit to, let's say, $10,000 or even $100 upfront and cross your fingers and hope that something happens in the way that you might have to with other more traditional forms of advertising. You actually have the ability to set daily budgets, and you could spend just a couple of bucks a day to get started, quite honestly, and kind of pay as you go. And again, this connects to really all the other points we've been talking about. If you have things set up properly and you're able to easily and on a real-time basis measure and track your return and see what's working and what's not, you're always kind of in control of what you're spending and if you spend more or spend less. So obviously the ability to be in control of your advertising budget is, you know, a huge advantage, to entrepreneurs and small businesses.
Massive, yeah.
Another quick point I always love to make. So I'm sure plenty of you who are watching or listening to this have heard this conversation in the last, this is going to be going on now for, I want to say, maybe even, 2 to 3 years, this conversation of, are people leaving Facebook? And so I always have clients asking me this, people asking me this, if people are leaving Facebook, especially the younger demographics, does it make sense to be investing in Facebook ads now? And my answer is, of course, absolutely yes. The reason being that Facebook's kind of way ahead of the curve on that, knowing that no social network can be the social network forever. That's just like not a thing in internet world. So instead of trying so hard to make, to make it seem as though they're going to be the social network forever, they're really making a lot of sort of preemptive decisions as far as increasing their value as an ad network. So for example, buying Instagram was 100% a play at making sure that their value as an ad network does not decrease. So all of a sudden, you don't just, when you're setting up ads through Facebook, you're not just showing ads on Facebook. You're also having your ads be shown on Instagram. Facebook's also building out something called the Audience Network, which is, will eventually rival the Google Display Network. And it's just these different places on the web and in mobile apps where your ads will actually show up. So long story short, Facebook's value as a social network and Facebook's value as an ad network are not necessarily in direct relation to each other. So even as people may be leaving Facebook, although, I mean, clearly there's like over 2 billion active users. So even if they're leaving, we still have a long time before everybody's gone. Facebook's value as an ad network is actually increasing as they continue to basically create more placements where your ads can show, which just gives you more opportunity to reach more people, whether they're signing on to Facebook or not.
Yeah. Jennifer, you're using a lot of that stuff. I mean, you,
I never,
your business, because it's crazy. I'll be somewhere and I'll see you in my mobile messenger. There's a great little Jennifer Spivak ad right in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you know, just think, you guys, in our business, we send someone to a CVI and then magically we just can appear in their messenger with something. Hey, you're still working on the entertainment for your upcoming holiday event. It's insane.
Imagine the ability to have your face in front of the people that you're trying to get in front of 24/7. You know, people tell me this all the time, and I'm going to talk more about retargeting later on in the presentation, but I get on sales calls all the time and people tell me, I feel like I know you already.
Oh my God. Do
because
they ever?
I have my retargeting strategy for my business personally is a ton of video. So I do these short little videos where I'm just teaching a small topic, but it's definitely my face and people have an experience of knowing me, knowing who I am, knowing what I stand for, what my teaching style is, that I curse a lot, you know, things like that. And a sense of who I am by the time they're connecting with me, and it makes my sales processes that much easier. So it's the ability to kind of be everywhere for your prospects. And if you want to see what retargeting really looks like in action, if you go to my website, jenniferspivak.com, you'll basically never be able to get away from me.
That's right. You'll get the cookie and she will be a part of your life. And it's
not creepy at all. I actually had a guy that I was talking to on a dating app say that he went to check out my site and now he can't go anywhere on the internet without seeing me. And I was like, is that a strategy? Should I be doing like
what? Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I was like, I should be teaching people how to do this, how to be everywhere for your dating.
That's hilarious. Love that.
Okay, so I wanted to add this little thing in here because when Barry and I were going back and forth, he was like, you know, we definitely have a lot of people in here that are doing a lot of B2B outreach, looking to get in touch with businesses. And there's definitely this misconception that Facebook ads is not for B2B. I actually have a lot of B2B clients. I've had a lot of success doing B2B marketing campaigns on Facebook. So I definitely, do not agree that Facebook ads are not for B2B, but just a quick little sort of statistic that I found here. So b2bmarketing.net essentially did a study. I want to say this was in 2017.
Okay.
And basically what they learned is that 1 in 4 people who were B2B decision makers basically said that Facebook was their preferred social media platform to get information as far as purchasing decisions. And that was ahead of the normal, you know, thing that we associate with B2B, LinkedIn, and even Twitter.
Wow.
So clearly, just because it's not necessarily a business platform, perhaps in the way that LinkedIn is, look, B2B is still B2C, ultimately at the end of the day, right? I mean, you're still always talking to a person. You're still always communicating and building relationships with a person who's inside of that business. And Facebook just gives you tools that LinkedIn and Twitter do not. So it's absolutely doable. It's absolutely something that can be really effective. And in fact, again, a lot of these B2B decision makers are saying they prefer to receive their information through Facebook.
Gotcha. Okay.
And just specifically something for you guys to be thinking about when you're thinking about, okay, so I've been trying to target, you know, people who work in such and such business, just to give you a little bit of guidance as far as targeting. When it comes to B2B, there are generally two main things that work really well as far as figuring out how to target your people. So one option, of course, is job title targeting. It's very straightforward. If you know you want to reach lawyers, if you know you want to reach marketers, whatever it is, you can always, of course, just put in a job title.
Yep.
But I find that that can be limiting because people are not as diligent about putting in their job title or putting it in the correct way on Facebook as they might be on LinkedIn, which is fine. It just means that job title targeting can be somewhat limiting. It doesn't mean don't test it. And we'll talk more about how my philosophy on pretty much everything is just test it and see what happens. But just know that that's one option. Another option that I find to almost always work better when it comes to B2B is finding professional organizations, credentialing organizations, professional associations that the people you're trying to target would belong to. Because targeting in that way by people who have an interest in those associations or organizations does not require that that person put their job title on their profile. It just means that their online behavior has indicated that they have an interest in that group, which means obviously that they are highly likely to have the job title or be the person in the organization that you're actually trying to reach.
Interesting. Yeah, that's, and it's true. I've really thought about that, the job title thing. And it's like on Facebook, I don't even know where I would put that in actually. On LinkedIn, it's front and center. I mean,
Yeah, and again, I mean, there are people that would put it in their profile. But again, anytime you can choose to target in general, not by something that people have to self-select, but more something that people are just naturally liking a Facebook page or visiting what they're interested in.
Yes.
And you can target based on that, which is really based on behavior. That is usually a more powerful option. And usually,
Someone clicks if they like the Journey reunion tour. It's like that tells us so much as advertisers.
Right.
They didn't even know they were coming. Yeah.
They might not have put that in their profile. Right. But their actions, their behaviors, we can actually target through that. And so that's definitely something that's very powerful. You know, and Facebook, again, you know, look, it goes both ways. Obviously, there's been a lot going on lately with Facebook and data and privacy and how they know everything about us. And clearly, as we've seen, that can be used for evil. But it can also be used for good in that we have the ability to really reach the right people with the right messaging and, you know, support entrepreneurs and small businesses in, you know, doing really powerful work in the world. So, you know, again, obviously we've seen the bad side of it, but I'm all for it and making sure that, you know, as many people who are trying to do good, you know, have these tools to be able to reach the right people.
Yeah. So someone's asking, you know, I think, yeah, we may not talk about this later, actually. Someone's just saying, so you can target people who like certain groups.
So interestingly enough, there's never been a direct way to target by group, but I have a secret trick for how to do so.
I know your trick, man. And I freaking, oh my God, that little trick has made 30 Days Sugar-Free a lot of customers.
Yes. Okay. I was not including it in this presentation. Let me do a really quick overview. And then for any of you guys who want something that's a little bit more, that explains it a little bit more, on my Facebook page, I have a Facebook Live. And then there's also a blog post I have on my site that details this a little bit more. But long story short, you can target by interest. You cannot target by group. However, there is an ability to retarget people who watch your videos. So if you do a Facebook Live in a group, and that's the only place that Facebook Live is, and you retarget people who watch that Facebook Live, it's a bit of a workaround. You're not getting everybody in that group, but that's an indirect way to build a custom audience. I'm going to talk more about this towards the end of the presentation, but it's an indirect way to build a custom audience of people who belong to a certain group. So if you want like a more detailed explanation of that, there's a whole blog post I have on my site.
Yep. Yeah. I love that. Good.
Yes. That's one of my favorite tricks.
This is one of my favorite slides of yours right here. Yep.
Okay.
Don't let this one freak you out, guys. This is big.
Yes. Okay. So now that we're kind of getting into like the meat and potatoes here, let me just, you know, give you a quick overview that the structure of this presentation is really based on seemingly small things, so like little things that don't maybe seem like a big deal, that actually have a huge impact on the success or failure of your campaigns. And these are the mistakes that I see everybody making of doing this for the last 4.5 years. And I'm talking about entrepreneurs making these mistakes and also international organizations with 200 people deep marketing departments. So nobody's understanding these things. And if you understand some of the things I'm about to talk about, you're actually better off than probably 75% of the other people advertising on Facebook. So again, seemingly small things, but they really make a big difference. So really, I think one of the most common mistakes that I see people making is choosing the wrong objective. So if you haven't set up a Facebook ad before, well, if you have, you probably recognize this screen. If you have not, this is the first thing you see when you're in the ads manager and you click create ad.
Yep.
So it's basically Facebook saying, what do you want? What's your marketing objective? What's the goal of running this ad campaign?
What are we doing here? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
In New York terms.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people don't realize, and look, Facebook also doesn't do a good job of telling you how much this impacts everything. So here's the thing you need to understand. Each one of these objectives has an automatic optimization setting. So let me explain that a little bit more. And I'm going to use an example of something that's really, really common. So let's say you want to drive traffic to a web page on your site, and there's a form on that page. And what you want is to get as many people as possible filling out that form. The inclination, without necessarily understanding conversions and tracking codes, let's just say someone chooses in that middle column, send people to your website. So technically you're sending people to your website, and you choose send people to your website as your objective. So here's what happens in this scenario. Facebook will automatically optimize your ads to get you as many clicks as possible at the lowest cost possible within your daily budget, because the automatic optimization setting on send people to your website is relating to clicks, relating to website traffic. Okay, so the most clicks possible, lowest cost possible doesn't sound so bad, except that that's not the thing that you actually want. You want people to fill out your form, which is what we would essentially call a conversion. So just try to understand with me the difference between having Facebook trying to get you as many clicks possible when that isn't exactly what you care about versus Facebook actually working with you to get you as many form submissions as possible. And again, remember, Facebook has so much data on all of its users. Facebook knows who clicks and does nothing and who's likely to convert. So that actually gets you access to what is potentially a higher quality, higher caliber audience or segment of your audience that you're already targeting by choosing the conversions objective. So it's not to say to always choose conversions. There might be times where you do care about engagement or where you do want to promote your page and get page likes. The point here is understanding that each one of these is meant to drive something different. So for example, a lot of people will boost posts and say, why am I not making any sales? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you chose an objective that is automatically looking to get you as much engagement as possible at the lowest cost possible. Engagement does not equal clicks. Engagement does not equal conversions. So it's simply, I guess the most important point here is making sure you're choosing the objective that most closely aligns with your in real life objective and understanding that each one of these really is designed for different purposes.
You know, it's funny, it's totally clear. And these three categories that Facebook has put them in, these are three categories that we go through, you go through, I go through, everyone goes through every time they decide. Jennifer's drinking water right now. She had an awareness that she was thirsty. You know, at some point she had to consider, do I want to drink water, smoothie, Coke, whatever. And then the conversion was, she got, you know, it's just so funny, just like we do those three categories. So really, I love how they've set up these categories because they mirror human behavior so perfectly.
Yes. But at the same time, you know, you may not have a need, for example, for the, you know, some of the things under the awareness objective, if the top of the funnel, that thing that you want to drive is traffic to, let's just say, a blog post. So again, it's not, none of these are bad. It's just understanding that each one of these drives something different. I remember this was a couple of years ago, some guy was trying to do a study to prove that Facebook ads are basically bullshit, that they're like a scam and they don't work. So what he did to prove this was he ran a page likes campaign. And, you know, he spent about $100 and he got a ton of page likes. And this was back when you could get page likes for like, you know, 5 cents, which isn't happening anymore. But he ultimately, what he went and did is he went and looked at all those page likes and he actually looked at their profiles and their accounts. And he basically said, look, these all seem like they're fake accounts. I mean, they're people that like everything and, you know, there's not like a lot of history there and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, but fundamentally, you literally told Facebook that all you wanted was page likes. So who do you think Facebook gave you? The people who like everything on Facebook.
Yep, that's it.
We've all seen the type. We know who those are. So that's, of course, you know, fundamentally different than if you're telling Facebook you want traffic or if you're telling Facebook you want conversion. So it's just understanding how much this impacts everything.
Yes. Now, page likes, that used to be on here somewhere, or was that, because I've done page likes. Oh, promote your page. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, is basically, and the terminology, this is a slightly outdated screenshot. The terminology in the current interface is actually, I think, a little bit different, but for the most part, it's the same concepts. They just change the words. Yep. Like I think send people to your website is now just called traffic.
Gotcha. Yep. Yep. Exactly. Traffic.
But the automatic optimization settings underneath, so to speak, each one of these is basically the same. So it's just understanding that this really does impact things. And, you know, if you want to drive a conversion, which is a sale, a sign up, a registration, whatever, you must choose conversions as your objective.
Someone just said, and this, you could spend about 4 seconds answering this, get installs of your apps. It's just for app developers, I take it.
Yes, exactly. So that's if you literally have a mobile app.
Yep, yep.
Good. Yeah. Okay, so.
No, I'm kidding.
I know, this is my favorite part.
I remember I actually put something about this in the email I sent out. I was like, don't let this screen freak you out. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes when I'm speaking about this live, you know, like at an event or something, mm-hmm. and I can just see, like, as I'm talking about the pixel, I can see people's faces just like they're just like, so like, I'm like, okay, let's rewind and go back. I feel like sometimes my purpose on this planet is to simplify this conversation around the Facebook pixel. So don't worry. I know it looks like there's a lot of code on here, but there's actually no coding involved. It's a lot of copying and pasting. So let me just really quickly explain. There's two main functions of the Facebook pixel. And again, I call it a line of magic money-making code. It's a line of code. Facebook likes to be fancy and use the terminology pixel. It's the same type of tracking code as like your Google Analytics tracking code. But the Facebook pixel code specifically serves two main purposes. Number one is the ability to retarget, which we've been talking about. So any page where you have your account, so each one of you will have an individual ad account associated with your Facebook account, and each ad account has its own Facebook pixel. And so any page on any web page where you have your Facebook pixel inserted, you can then retarget anybody who visited that page. So that's sort of functionality number one, which we clearly know is going to be important for you guys. Functionality number two relates to what we were just talking about with being able to choose conversions as your main ad objective. And so what the Facebook pixel does is it actually allows you to optimize for conversions, because otherwise, going back to the example, how would Facebook know when somebody's filled out your form, right? Because it's off of Facebook. Facebook doesn't know that unless you have the Facebook pixel set up. So let me sort of show you that ecosystem. I'm gonna try to simplify this here. So let's just say again, in the top left of the screen, that's your Facebook ad. Okay, so you have a Facebook ad that shows up on Instagram and the Facebook feed and Messenger and all the different places for the people that you're targeting. And somebody clicks on your ad and they land on your website or landing page. The pixel, as it is, that you literally just copy directly from your Facebook ad account, goes there. So you want that to be, we call it the base pixel because it's just the pixel as is, not edited, no nothing, just copied and pasted.
Yep.
You would have that go on all of the pages of your website and or on your landing page, so that anybody that lands there, regardless of what they do, whether you collect their email address or not, you can still retarget them. So that's, again, one functionality. But then to take it a step further, we're going to go back to the example of saying that there's a form on your landing page or website. When somebody fills out that form, they then get redirected to a thank you page that says something like, thanks, we'll be in touch within the next 48 hours, whatever it is. You're going to put a special pixel code on that page that essentially sends data back to Facebook to say a conversion has occurred. And that's the way that the pixel and Facebook conversion optimization kind of go together. So the pixel almost allows your website to talk to Facebook and say that, yes, a conversion has occurred.
Right.
And that's consistently sending data back to Facebook so Facebook can learn and go, oh, interesting, that's what a conversion looks like, that's who converted. Okay, yeah. Well, this ad campaign has conversion optimization, so now let me optimize this campaign to show this show these ads to more people who look like that person and get this campaign more conversions. So basically, it's making your campaign smarter over time.
That's you. That's one thing it does, and that's, in my world, the most important thing. And then the second thing it does is it does the math for you. It starts to say, hey, you spent $5, you got these 8 conversions, you know, or you got these 10 conversions. Going to make math easy for myself. That means a conversion costs 50 cents for you. And once you have that math, nothing's the same in your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then you're in total control, right? If you know that it costs me 50 cents to get a conversion, instead of thinking, oh my God, should I spend $100? I don't know. Like, I'm all worried. You could say, no, I'm confidently going to spend $500 this month.
Because I know
I'm in control. I set things up properly. I know how to see exactly what I'm getting for what I'm spending. And just as a little quick aside, I always like to mention, there's an awesome free Google Chrome extension called the Facebook Pixel Helper. Even though I set up pixels all day long, you know, to some extent, I'm like, eh, it's technology, it's going to break. So I always use the Facebook Pixel Helper just to double check on any page that the Pixel Helper, that the Facebook Pixel is set up properly. So it'll just either give you an error notification or it'll give you sort of a green check mark and say, yes, you're good to go. So a free extra tool just to make sure you have your pixel set up properly.
That's awesome. And Jennifer, someone asked if there's a WordPress plugin, and I know you talked about this
there
one.
There is.
Yeah, throw that name out there because that's a beauty.
So there's an, if you have a WordPress site, there's an amazing plugin called Pixel Your Site. I usually search it, if I'm not mistaken, as all one word, and it'll come up in the plugin search. And basically, it actually simplifies this entire process for you. It's still good to understand how the thing is working functionally, but rather than having to put individual pixel codes on different pages, you actually would just copy and paste your pixel ID, which again, you can just pull from your ad account. You copy and paste it directly into the plugin and it automatically puts pixels everywhere for you.
Magic, so everywhere on the site. And I don't know, you guys probably can't see my screen because Jennifer's is shared, but for the replay, it'll be up here in the corner. I have my Facebook Pixel Helper right there, and it shows three occurrences of it, the pixel on the page. So really just a quickie free plugin to throw in.
Very, very, very good tool to have just to double check that everything's tracking properly. Because again, if you're going to want your ad campaigns to essentially be making decisions based on pixel data, you just want to make sure your pixel data is correct and everything's set up properly. So just really quickly, again, don't get overwhelmed by this. So just to quickly sort of explain, because remember we talked about on this
screen broke just now. No, it's
What?
I think your screen broke. No, when that last slide came on, but it's it looked like the white screen of death.
Oh no, but I'm telling you, it's so funny. People are like coding. No, I'm like, it's copying and pasting, I promise. But so just again, even if you have WordPress, you're never gonna do this, but just so you understand functionally what's kind of happening, what the plugin's doing for you. And again, if you have a different platform, you will have to do this manually. We talked about, okay, so landing page is the pixel as is. You copy and paste it, boom, done. The post-conversion page, the page that people land on after they take the action you want them to take, needs a special edit to the pixel so that it is not just a base pixel, but a pixel that actually tracks for a particular conversion. So let's just say you want to optimize for leads. You're driving people to a landing page, want them to fill out a form to collect leads. And you want to turn your base pixel into a lead pixel. So the black text is just the pixel. Again, there's no coding. I just copied and pasted this somewhere directly out of my ad account. So what I need to do to turn this pixel from just being a regular base pixel into a pixel that tracks for leads is add just a little bit of extra code. Again, just copying and pasting.
Yep.
Where this red text is. And so to me, this always looks like a sad winky face, like right above it, where it's, so I always say, look for page view, sad winky face. Below that,
yep.
is where you actually want to paste this additional, what's called a standard event code. Yep. Again, just copying and pasting and grabbing from Facebook. So, okay, I want to take a lead. I would just simply copy and paste this lead code right here in the bottom right and put it where the red text is. So that's it. It's just copying and pasting. And then all of a sudden, this is no longer a base pixel. This is now a pixel because it has this extra code where the red text is specifically for leads. Now this is a lead pixel. And that is the pixel, or that is the code that would go on the thank you page. So that anytime someone lands on that thank you page, the data gets sent back to Facebook and Facebook knows a lead has occurred, a lead has been submitted, and it will attribute that lead to the specific audience and ad that it came from, and it will make your campaign smarter over time.
Absolutely. And go back to that screen one time. I think the top one would be very useful. Back. Yeah, that view content. If we send them somewhere to a page or a CVI page, and there's a link on there that they could click to go see our rider or go see another video or a performance, you know, if we know that they're engaged, they get that view content track, and you know that those people went to that page, and then you can show them ads that basically pick up exactly where that conversation left off.
Exactly.
I mean, this is creepy. Yeah, it's wonderful, and I say creepy in the best way.
I know, it can be creepy, I think. Again, we want to make sure we're using it for good and not evil.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's this world, yeah.
I know, right?
So someone's saying, are those event codes located in Ads Manager?
Yes. Everything is inside Ads Manager. Again, this is like a slightly older screenshot. The interface is updated since then. In fact, I think it's even more user-friendly where it literally says copy and paste your pixel, and then you click next, and then a next, it's like, okay, now which event do you want to track? So it walks you through it, and this is all inside of the pixels section inside of your Ads Manager.
And then can you add more than one event code to a page?
You usually would not want to.
Okay.
Again, you really want each page to be measuring a specific action.
Okay, good. Yeah, someone was asking that, and I agree. What's the most important thing that page is doing?
Yeah, it's not that you can. It's not like anything would be bad or broken, but for your own sake of sort of keeping track of what's going on, you want particular pages to measure only certain actions so that, for example, you can retarget people who became leads, or you can retarget people who triggered your view content pixel, or you can track, you know, who's getting, like, which ads are getting people to the next page triggering the view content pixel versus which ones aren't. So things like that.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Okay, so let's dive into ad testing here and just sort of like a quick overview. My philosophy on everything as it relates to Facebook ads is just test it. So people all the time, I mean, even literally on dating apps, will ask me questions like, you know, what ad should I test? What audience should I use? What image should I use? Is video better? Is picture better? And my answer, no matter how long I've done this for, no matter how many industries I've worked in, is test it. Okay, like, who cares what I think? I don't know. You know, let's actually find out what real people do in real time and use that to determine which picture you should use, which video you should use, which audience you should test. So everything, my entire approach, and all I'm doing really all day long with my clients' ad accounts is split testing different things. So this slide is really just meant to point out all of the different things that can be tested, because it's very easy to think, okay, it's copying creative. How hard is that? Okay, no, there's a lot of different options. There's the text that goes above the ad. There's the ad creative itself, which could be an image, it could be a video, it could be a GIF, it could be a slideshow. There's the link headline, which is the bolded larger text below it.
Yeah, the shop.
The link description, which is the smaller text below it. The display URL, the call to action button. And, you know, you would be surprised that there can be a significant difference in the performance of your campaign if your call to action button says sign up versus learn more.
Yeah. So,
and again, if there was a big difference, wouldn't you want to know about it and make sure you're spending your money on the thing that's better? And of course, also other elements that can be tested, your targeting. So who's your ad being shown to? Your placement, so where your ad's actually showing up, and then your ad format. So video versus a link ad versus a canvas ad versus a carousel ad versus a lead ad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's so many different options. There's so many different levers to pull and different things that you can split test. And really success on with Facebook ads is having a strategic way to test all of these different variables side by side, and really kind of like be a, you know, detective, so to speak, in really figuring out what's going to work. There's like no real secret beyond that. People always want to know. And I'm like, it's not some like secret funnel you don't know about. It's literally just having the tools to do testing in a structured way.
Awesome. Hey, you guys, stand up, shake out, take a breath for a second, and let me just, and just type into your comments. Do you see a use for this in your business, or is something in your head, some lizard brain or something telling you this doesn't apply to me? I'd just love to hear from whatever. There's 50 people.
I love that. Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, because it's so easy to say this doesn't apply because I'm just a juggler, because I'm just this. But I mean, honestly, is there, if there is something, I would love to have you bring it up while Jennifer's on here. She has a history of clients that go from, I mean, she was just telling me she did a webinar like this and is helping people who do court reporting.
I mean, the most like random stuff.
Yeah, the most random clients. You were telling me about some of your clients. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
One of my clients is the American Chemistry Council. Like, I'm just all over the place.
Okay, that's awesome. Oh my God, okay. This was totally my projection that this was something that people didn't think. There's about 100% yes, keep going, don't stop. Okay.
Great.
Good.
Awesome. Okay, so this part's going to be fun. I think you guys are going to like this. This is going to be very interactive, so perfect timing. Okay, so I'm telling you how important testing is, but let me actually prove to you how important testing is, so it's not just me saying it. So why is it so important? Because what actually happens in real life when you run ads might surprise you. So a little bit of a backstory. The ads I'm about to show you are for a longtime client of mine. They are a big trade show. They put on a big trade show in Las Vegas twice a year. I had been running their Facebook ads, so all of their attendee acquisition, for many, many years. And when Facebook bought Instagram, and then Instagram ads became a thing, they were like, hey, we want to try adding in Instagram ads. And I said, great. And so obviously everybody involved in the project had a different opinion as far as what type of creative we should be using on Instagram. So I had an opinion, and the client had an opinion, and the graphic designer, blah, 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 everybody, yep. You know, projects sure. Are fine. And so we actually ended up testing three different pieces of creative. So just play along with me, and which one of these do you think?
Perfect? Right. Oh, good.
Okay. So this first one, literally just leggings on a rack. No big deal.
We don't get to know the industry for this. We're just looking at your.
I mean, we're basically targeting people who are looking to buy product
okay.
in the fashion or accessory industry for
okay,
their
cool.
stores. So they're buyers, basically.
A little context. Gotcha. Okay. So leggings.
Leggings. Okay, this one, like obviously the client was all about this because they got to have their logo on it. Clients love logos.
AFD Market Week, yeah.
And then like it has to be this one, right? Doesn't everything
I've never seen anything like that. No, I'm kidding.
The plant, the white space. The white, I mean, it's like so Instagrammy. It's like almost disgusting.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? And so, okay. What do you guys think? Let's get like a quick vote. One, two, or three. One
okay, is show them again one more time. So it's leggings. And then the logo.
One is leggings.
Okay.
Two, three.
One logo. Okay.
What are we getting?
Leggings, logo, textbook, Instagram. Okay. I'm going to put in my boot. Yeah, just do one, two, three. I'm going to. All right. Let me see what we got.
And every time I do this, there always seems to be a consensus in the room, virtual or in person, but the consensus is always different with different audiences, which is so fun.
My quick math looks like about 40% one, 20%, no, about 60% one, 20% two, and the rest three.
Okay, well.
That's pretty split.
Leggings.
Leggings for the win.
Leggings for the win.
And this I'm going to call this masterclass Leggings for the Win.
I love it. And this ended up being actually a really successful ad for a very long time. So there's like a joke in the organization now that like, who would have thought leggings would be like the foundation of our customer acquisition strategy?
Oh my God.
But what's an interesting thing to point out here is there was not a small difference between these three images. Okay. The images on the outside generated 9, 10 event registrations, leggings, 393.
Oh, what?
And the difference in the cost per conversion, the ones on the outside were $9, $10 per registration, leggings about $3. And just for reference, on average, buyers spend about $82,000 at this trade show. So you do the math, 82,000 times 393. So that is how much revenue was generated. That is how much value was added to my client's trade show because we ended up doing testing instead of just going with what the client wanted or instead of just going with what the graphic designer wanted. So that's the overall premise here.
So for interest's sake, who picked the leggings? Whose idea was that?
Mine, obviously.
Ah, no, really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I have good intuition about these things. But
client for life right there, man. Oh my God.
At the same time, I quite frankly don't give a shit about being right. Like that's not important.
Right.
And so that's really, again, the premise here. Like, who even cares what you think is the best?
Yep,
let
yep,
your
yep.
audience tell you. Why would you want to make your decisions about where you spend your money based on what you like if you could instead make your decisions about where you spend your money based on what your actual audience actually responds to?
Holy cow. That's amazing, Jennifer. I mean, those numbers, 9 on the outsides and what?
I know, right?
Almost 400 on the inside. And then you were rewarded by, you said the ads were costing about $9 per acquisition on the outsides and $3. So when something works better, you pay less for it.
Yes, because obviously more people in the audience are actually converting. So you're getting a better cost per conversion on it.
That's huge. Yeah. And then you're showing these as Instagram ads, but again, these are all done through the Facebook platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Perfect.
It's all done through the Facebook platform.
Good. Just in case anyone, I like to channel.
Yeah, kind of used interchangeably. Literally everything I'm talking about also applies to Instagram.
Gotcha. Perfect. I don't want someone to think, my gosh, I smoothed out for a second and now we're on Instagram.
Wait a minute. How did this happen? Okay, cool. So what I'm going to try to do right now, I'm being mindful of the time here. I'm going to give you guys an overview of the ad testing process that I use. In a lot of my online content and my online course, I dive a lot more in depth into this. So I'm just going to give you a quick and dirty overview, but basically the premise, plain and simple, if Facebook ads like feels overwhelming to you, let me just like take that, out of the equation here, because really, really all you're doing in the process of testing different things is isolating one variable at a time, split testing a couple of different versions of that variable side by side, getting rid of what doesn't work,
yep.
and keeping or scaling what does. That is literally it. Once you've got the technical stuff set up and your pixel set up, that is just all you need to do to manage this and maintain it and continuously find a sweet spot where you're, getting good results for what you're spending. So basically let me try to explain it, how I normally would set up a brand new campaign. So you always want to test your creative first. Because if you look at like the kind of the makeup or structure of a Facebook ad, it takes up the most real estate. So the creative, really its job is to stop the scroll.
Yep.
So your image does not, or video or GIF, whatever, does not stop the scroll. You don't even have an option to get people to read your ad copy, let alone click, let alone convert and do the thing that you want them to do. So you always want to split test your creative first. So here's how I would begin a brand new campaign. I would set up 3 different ads, all targeted to the same audience and all with the exact same ad copy, but they each have a different creative. And the reason why we're just testing a single variable at a time is that if one ad works better than the other and all other variables remain the same, we can, with some level of certainty, assume that it's because that creative is performing better than the others.
Gotcha. And when you say creative, you're talking about the visual image.
Exactly.
Okay,
but I use the word creative because it could be a video.
Yep.
It
and you're an ad person. So I'm just trying to make that clear for people. The creative is what your eyes see.
Yes, right? Exactly. It's the visual part. So not the text, the stuff that's sort of in between.
Gotcha. So your columns here are working vertically. So you're saying test audiences. So that doesn't change.
So basically like right now what I'm talking about, we're just looking at like the first... not column, the first row. It's like, what's the word? First row.
Okay.
And so let's just say, for example, that all you set up at this point is your first test, which is your picture or visual test. Again, like I said, 3 different pictures, 3 different ads with each a different picture, same copy,
okay.
same audience.
Same headline, same, all the words are the same.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
To accelerate your testing, you can then duplicate that set of ads and change the audience targeting.
Gotcha.
So essentially that's what each of these rows is. It's going through the image test and on three different audiences at a time. So essentially you're simultaneously testing which audience performs best and inside of each of those audiences, which image performs best for each one of those audiences.
Gotcha. Perfect.
And then you get to take that a step further. Once you identify, look, obviously some of the audiences won't work, turn them off, stop running those ads. But let's say two of your three audiences are doing pretty well, and then you've isolated within each one of those audiences what the image that's performing best. You can take it a step further and then take that winning image, create three more ads inside of those audiences. This time, they're all going to have the same image, but they'll have different copy. Because at this level of the testing, you're split testing your copy. And you could technically continue this process with all of the different variables I had highlighted on that earlier slide, even down to the call to action button, depending on how specific and narrowed you want to get. And look, it may seem like it's all for nothing, but what happens is as you get rid of things that don't work, and by don't work, I mean that cost you money but don't give you anything, and you only are spending your money on the things that do work, overall, your return goes up, your cost of acquisition goes down, and everything over time is just getting better and better and better because you're doing that detective work to very strategically and in a structured way figure out what works and what does not work. So you're only spending your money on the shit that works.
I tell you guys, we have done this exact system that Jennifer's talking about with our acts over the course of our career. We've gotten rid of the jokes, the bits, the tricks, the songs that don't work, and we've just constantly refined it. So this is great. This is just applying what we've already done to a different market.
Exactly.
I love it. Yep. Love
it. Awesome. Okay. And so this is just a quick example of what this kind of could look like in real life. This was an old client. So in the process, I used to do it a little bit differently a couple of years ago, but generally, it's about the same. So basically, again, starting out with three different pieces of creative. This was for a subscription menswear company. Oh. So you sign up, you get a new tie in the mail every month, like Orbo tie, if that's your thing. Oh. And so again, starting out by testing three different pieces of creative. I say it every time. I think this test was broken because the cat didn't win. And that just seems ridiculous to me, but whatever. Okay. So, okay.
Cat person. Cat person.
Total cat person. I'm like, just within reach. I've got like eight cat things. Let me stop because I'll get overexcited here. So okay, split testing these three images. Clearly, this brightly colored image on the right, based on data, based on people actually converting, was the best image. Okay. That was used as the basis for the next test, which is the copy test. Oh. So taking that winning image, another three ads, all with this winning image, but each with different copy. The copy that performed best, again, based on data, your dad's ties went out of style 30 years ago, stop wearing them. Oh. So that was our winning copy. And then now what we had was a winning ad and, a winning image and copy combination based on data. And then we're able to use that and split test that across a variety of different audiences to really zero in on what works for this client and what gets them the lowest cost of acquisition so that they can make as much money as possible with their Facebook ad campaigns, all discovered through testing.
Wow. The artist in me is playing with three juggling balls while I hear this, and the business guy in me has goosebumps right now. So this is awesome.
I love that you're just like kind of like casually like juggling while we're
I am actually, but this is amazing to me that, yeah, you've taken the three big things, sort of the headline, the creative, and then the audience, and you just scrape the cream off the top and get rid of the, wonderful.
Yes. And those are definitely the three main things you want to test. But again, if you remember that earlier slide, we could take this many, many steps further. And it's always sort of that question of like, could I get my costs even lower?
Totally. Hey, and this is a good timing. AJ, who's in Chicago and runs some great advertising for his niche market. It says, how long on an average do you run the testing before you decide on a winner and move on?
Perfect question. And so it definitely depends, right? It depends on your budget. It depends on how large your audience is, because you do want to make sure the results are statistically significant, right? So if you're spending $3 a day, you know, 5 days spending $15 is probably not necessarily enough time to get statistically significant results, because you're going to be making all of your marketing decisions going forward based on the results of these tests. So I say that what I'm about to say, take it with a grain of salt, because it definitely depends. But overall, at minimum, you should be spending $10 per day per audience and testing for 5 to 7 days.
Gotcha. $10 Granted. Per day per audience and yes. testing from 5 to 7. And clarify that, because I know what you're talking about, but I bet some people don't. But when you say per audience, you can run those three ads that you were showing yes. to that audience.
So you're basically, like, let's say we're, if we looked at that earlier slide where I was like, you know, audience, image, and then copy.
Yep.
Inside that one audience, you're basically going to say, hey, this audience number one gets $10 a day, and those three ads inside of it are competing for that $10 a day budget.
Perfect.
Yeah, now, just one other quick thing to mention. Don't, like, take that as absolute rule and then let things that suck run for 7 days because I said so. So sometimes you can identify obvious underperformers as early as 3 or 4 days, in which case I would say, you know, pull the plug. Don't let it run for 7 days just because that's, like, the rule. But if there are two or three things that are kind of, you know, in close range, duking it out, 7 days is a really nice amount of time at that $10 a day budget minimum to really be able to get a sense of what's working and get those statistically significant results.
Awesome. Hey, while you're still on that slide, Dano asked, Dano, a man who wears a bow tie, which of those audiences won?
I do not remember, to be totally honest.
Okay. Yeah, no, please. That's great.
2016.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, cool. And then I think, yes. Okay, great. We're getting towards the end. Perfect. Okay. Retargeting, which I know is going to be a big thing for you guys. Basically, what I wanted to do just with this slide quickly is give you guys a couple of different options as far as what's available with retargeting with Facebook ads, because they've continuously expanded their offerings in this area over the last 6 to 12 months, and it's becoming really, really powerful. So, you know, obviously a really cool statistic, retargeted visitors are 70% more likely to convert than one-time visitors to a site. And look, it's marketing 101, right? It's continuously building multiple touch points with your audience, regardless of who they are, in an effort to build credibility and build know, like, and trust and create that experience of everywhere-ness that, you know, Barry and I were talking about before, where, like, he opens up his messenger and there's my face. Right? So it's the ability to create that. So just really quickly, so you understand the different options available. One type of custom audience that is available with Facebook is an email custom audience. So if you have an email list of people you want to get in front of, you can upload that email list into Facebook, and Facebook will match those email addresses with existing user accounts, if, of course, that account has that email address listed on it. And then you can target ads only to people on your email list. So that's one option. Another option is what Facebook calls website custom audiences. And plain and simple, that's just the traditional type of retargeting we've been talking about.
Yep,
where based on people landing on your website or a particular page on your website, you can build a custom audience of those people and you can retarget them. And then the newest option, this is what Facebook's really been building out a lot over the last 6 to 12 months, is engagement-based retargeting. So this is retargeting that does not have to do with something that occurs off of Facebook. It's actually based on actions that are occurring on Facebook. So the thing we were talking about earlier with wanting to put a video inside of a Facebook group mm-hmm. and then retarget people who watch that video, that is an engagement-based custom audience based on people who watched a certain percentage of your video. You can build an engagement-based custom audience of people who have engaged with you on Instagram. If you're just using Instagram like for fun and you love organic stuff on there, you've got a big following on there, you can build a custom audience and then retarget them through Facebook ads.
Yep.
You can retarget people who have engaged with you on Facebook. You can see all, a couple of the options I have in this screenshot here, but it's basically just these additional ways to create touch points with people and then be able to consistently retarget them and consistently be in front of them without having to collect their email address and without having to direct them to your site. You can actually keep people on the platform, which Facebook definitely likes because obviously they don't want people leaving Facebook. So, and the options here just keep growing. Every time I go and look in the ads manager, there's like another option, but it's just different ways to kind of exactly what it says in the heading, create funnels with retargeting. And so if we're talking about traditional sales funnels, it's simply just creating multiple touch points with people throughout the consumer decision journey. It applies just as much to B2B. And it's the ability to consistently be in front of the people you want to be in front of without spending a ton of money and create that experience of everywhereness.
Oh my God. You know, one thing, I just do a one sentence on this. I love these engagement campaigns because to me, it's the difference between character, who the person is, and the persona, the mask they wear. Like on LinkedIn and job titles, that's all persona. That's who we need to be seen. Character, I mean, you can tell if somebody's watching a lot of videos, like if they have a kid, if they're involved in those groups, target them with a kids party in your area and around a zip code 30 miles around. I mean, that's who they are.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
It's again, this behavioral based targeting.
I love it.
What are people doing? And then retargeting them with messaging that is a fit to what they're doing and where they are and, you know, what their relationship is to you.
This is a question that just came in, and I imagine it's going to be a little hard for you to pull a number out of there because there's no real number, but someone said, how big an audience should we use for the results to be statistically significant?
Yeah, it's a very difficult.
Okay.
Because again, just think about this, right? If you're targeting locally versus nationally, that number is totally different. And if you're targeting locally in New York City versus locally in a small town, that number is totally different, right? So it's really hard to answer that question.
Gotcha. So really your thing about, you know, 10 bucks a day, 5 to 7 days. I mean, and figure you're kind of getting what you may get out of it. Someone asked, this was me. And where did I ask it? I put a note to myself. Oh, I said, I'm going to ask about, this is interesting. Some people in our group have talked about this, a B2B person who gets the cookie while they're on their work computer because they go to your website for a proposal we send them or something, and they use Facebook on their personal devices. There's no connection there, right?
There is.
That's the best answer you could have said, and I had no idea.
No, I mean, they have to have been, but that's the thing. I mean, they would have to have been on Facebook in some capacity on that original computer.
Well, I send them an email with a link to a customized video introduction that I'm giving them. That sends them to a web page. On that web page, there is the pixel code, but that's on their work computer. When they're later at home on their phone or anything. Now, does Chrome share cookies across devices?
I believe so.
Man, I think you're right. As I'm saying,
I believe that should still work.
I think you're right. I think Chrome shares cookies.
And you have to also understand there are a lot of ways in which you can be signed into Facebook without realizing. So let's just say you know your person's on hanging out on Facebook while they're on their work computer. But what if they logged into some other service where their login is through Facebook? I mean, we're so like not even aware of how many things we log into with our Facebook login, and then Facebook's got you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's really, and someone who does a lot of Facebook work on here just said, yeah, it works, no problem. So that's really good.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that would be an issue.
Well, good. Hey, so I think I've been grabbing the questions in order here. I want to just one more time, if there's something eking on your head. Let's see, okay, someone said if you're logged in. Yeah, perfect. If you have more questions for Jennifer while she's here, please put them in right now. We'll do a power round. Jennifer is going to make an awesome offer for you for a course that I've loved. I've been a member of for probably 18 months.
You were one of my first, honestly. You were one of the earlier people.
Was I really?
You were.
It's funny, I wrote you about.
You must have been in my first 20 students.
Yeah. When I see something that's an ATM machine where I can put in a $10 bill and get out $100, I'm really not afraid of jumping into that.
Side note, can I get that as a testimonial?
grab it, but I'll tell you. So anyway, talk about what you want to offer, and if it makes sense to anybody, jump in on it, and then I'll come back and hit all the questions right after that.
Cool. So just really quickly, you can almost see my course as a super deep dive of everything we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So instead of me, for example, saying, this is what my testing process looks like, there's actually a 30-minute video of you watching me setting up an ad in exactly the way that I would do it, screen share. So you can literally follow step by step how to set up your pixel, how to test your ads, how to, you know, come up with your different audience targeting, how to look at results. Really, it's meant to be kind of like watching me over my shoulder, exactly how I do things. So if you feel like, wow, I want to be able to do this stuff we just talked about, but I still don't know exactly how, this course is exactly what you need. We've got a ton of different modules and worksheets. A couple of different master classes. There's a Facebook ad swipe file of my most successful Facebook ads over the years, the things that have converted the most and make the most money. And then, of course, there's access to a private Facebook group, which now has close to, I think, 130 entrepreneurs and different professionals in there.
Man, I love that group.
Ongoing support. So that's one place where you can get additional support from other people as well as myself. And I also do, as Barry mentioned earlier, as the Facebook interface changes, I refresh the content as much as I possibly can, since obviously things change. But anyway, so the program itself is normally $397. I made a $100 off coupon code just for you guys. And what I'm also going to do is anybody from Barry's program, any of you guys who register by June 3rd at midnight, I'm going to actually do a bonus Q&A just for you guys, because obviously having the content is awesome, but you're also then going to have more questions, right? And so the biggest gap that I find that people have after my course, or really any course, is this is awesome, but I still have this one question about how this applies to what I'm doing. So I'm going to give you guys like a little, you know, one-on-one, not one-on-one, but like group Q&A just for you guys, where you can ask any questions once you've had some time to go through the content.
This is awesome.
$100 off with code SAVE100, so it's $297. And there's a special link there. It's Barry's special link that you can use that will take
I put it in the chat so you guys can click it.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you. That's right. Someone wrote, I don't know if you do any of this, Jennifer. I haven't hired you for this personally because there's a nerd in me, the pre-mentioned nerd who enjoys this. But someone wrote, this is giving me a headache. I can't wait till the end when you offer your services for hire. So
I have that too.
Okay, yeah, if you want to offer anything, let people, yeah, they can contact you.
I have a bunch of different packages. I work with clients in a bunch of different capacities.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do it yourself, I have, you know, options starting, you know, from $2,000 and up. And if you go on my website, there's a bunch, jenniferfeedback.com.
Awesome.
Everything's laid out. I'm very transparent about pricing, and you can book a sales call if you're interested.
Awesome. Someone said, any tips with Facebook ads that get more subscribers on YouTube?
That's going to be a tricky one, because Facebook is not going to like you sending people to a destination that essentially competes with Facebook in a way. So what I would probably do if I were you is I would drive traffic to a landing page, where ultimately from there, there's a call to action to go to YouTube. I wouldn't send traffic direct to YouTube from Facebook. They're not going to love that.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. Jennifer, thanks for all the great tips. Someone said, really appreciate the level of expertise you bring to this topic. However, please learn to pronounce GIF correctly. What does that mean, GIF correctly?
It's GIF. It is not GIF, and I will fight you on that.
Oh, this is going to get ugly. Okay. This says, someone's writing, with Insta, can you target by hashtags that people search?
You cannot.
Okay.
Not yet, but you know what? They're really expanding their Instagram advertising capabilities. I would be shocked if that wasn't something that did become available at some time soon.
Awesome. Good. Hey, yeah, I thought that would be a yes. That's interesting. Any tips? Oh, that's the YouTube one. Oh, someone said, I've just given you my cookie. Actually, I think you gave him your cookie. I believe that's the way it works.
This is starting to sound weirdly sexual.
I know. Between this and the gift fight, it's going. Landing page on website. Thanks, GIF. Go ahead and fight me. All right. Hey, well, Jennifer, thanks a ton, you guys. That's the May masterclass, and I loved it. Yeah, you got a great energy. You're really
my last screen. That's me. Yeah.
There she is. Boom. And you know, every comedian in the audience will have a warm spot for the brick wall. You know, from the improv phase. That's where all our careers started.
I love the brick wall.
Yeah, there's her email, her website, and thank you so much for doing this. Really,
no problem. It was fun.
Yeah, that's your yearly fill for hanging out with Variety X and Circus. Yeah. All right, everyone.
I'm gonna go hula hoop now.
Exactly. Hey, take care, Jennifer. Thanks so much. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Bye.